Welcome to the BQBL Failcast, the final, the ultimate failcast for the 2022 season, although it is 2023. I'm Alex, you're Dr. Matthew, or at least he's Dr. Matthew, you're listening. And we came into this week with a very specific set of things that needed to happen for anyone other than Jacob to be the champion this year. And what were those things, Matthew?
Well, in order for that to happen, Alex, I needed to win.
Yes.
The week, and Jacob needed to lose the week. And if that scenario happened, then it would have meant that I would have won by half a win. So there was, as you said, no margin for error. Both those things had to happen.
Yeah, no half measures here. Matthew needed to win. Jacob needed to lose. Unfortunately, Jacob, for his starters, had Washington and the Rams. Washington piloted by one Sam Howell, and yes. The Rams being piloted by our friend Baker Mayfield.
I was not optimistic going into the week, knowing who he was starting.
However, you had perennial all-star Carolina.
Yes.
Being quarterbacked by who this week?
Sam Darnold.
Yep. And then Arizona, again, I don't know who was quarterbacking them.
That was David Blau.
Okay, if you say so. So it was obviously going to be a matchup of Titans. And that doesn't even include the Titans that I have.
I had a chance to win. I was definitely felt like I had a chance to win the week. The question was whether, you know, there was any chance that Jake would lose the week. It was made even more difficult when Russ did not start teams yet again.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. It makes it much harder for a team to outright lose when someone doesn't submit starters.
It does. Yeah. And then, then Will ended up with basically all of his teams scoring no points, essentially.
Technically San Francisco scored 1 point, but the other teams all scored zero. He got zeros across the board and a one from San Francisco.
Yes. So it would have required negative for Jake to lose the week. But then, you know, Washington was playing Dallas. Dallas could have ended up with the number one seed, but for some reason did not show up for that game.
Beyond did not show up. I think did not show up would be an entirely charitable way to describe what Dallas did.
Yeah, I don't know what the right word is for what happened in that game.
It was malicious. Whatever it was, there was malice aforethought. They started, and it wasn't like they didn't start their best players. They started Dak Prescott,
who is ostensibly their best quarterback.
Dak Prescott went 14 for 37.
Yeah, that is awful. And somehow, so Sam Howell played okay. He put up 11 points. We can go back to that game in a minute. And, you know, I got what I needed. Carolina scored over 100, and we'll go back to that game because it you know, deserves a deep dive. But big picture, I got what I needed. They scored 103. Darnold came through. I won the week, which means all I needed was for Jake to lose. And that looked like it wasn't going to happen. Seattle was lining up 16-16 for a game-winning field goal late in the fourth quarter. And it hits the bar. All of a sudden, I have an opening. Mayfield hasn't played great, but he hasn't played terrible. And all of a sudden, they have the ball in overtime. All he needs is a game-winning drive for a touchdown, and I can win the week. Okay? So, second and 15, 8-something left on the clock. They are at their own 21, and Baker drops back to pass, and the following happens.
26-6, a file that away for later in the OT. Second down. Mayfield.
Oh, deep. He's got Van Jefferson open, and it's intercepted!
There is that brief moment. You can hear the announcers. They said they're so excited. They can see him wide open. They get all excited, and then it gets intercepted. But there is that brief moment. Ready? Hold on.
But he had him all the way, either flatten him off to the sidelines or launch this thing, and it gets caught around the 20-yard line. You see Van Jefferson having to slow down.
Yeah, so you can't, obviously, this is a podcast. Van Jefferson has 5 yards of space.
On Diggs,
on Diggs. If that ball is thrown over his head, he catches it He goes in for a touchdown. The Rams win the game. I win BQBL. And you know, you can screenshot it. He's basically at the 30-yard line with the space. The ball comes down. He has to basically stop completely
and turn around and try to catch it.
And turn around and try to catch the ball. The interception is basically made at the 28. And so if Baker could throw the ball 5-10 yards farther, I would have won. But instead, you know, Baker Mayfield is a BQBL star because he can't do that.
Yep. The announcer said either launch it or flatten it. And you can just see Baker Mayfield's head turn to the side like a dog. He's like, what do you mean? I just threw it. And the problem is clearly that he doesn't have those two speeds. He doesn't have launch it and he doesn't have flatten it. He just threw it at the guy.
Yeah. Yep.
So
he threw it at the guy.
So yeah, we got a game-killing interception instead for Baker Mayfield. He finishes with 32 points instead of negative 15 points. And Jacob wins the championship.
Yep. But it came down to the wire. That was overtime of the 4 o'clock game. So it was it really came down to it. There was really a chance. Just did not come through. Yeah. Well, Baker Mayfield, who remember, started the season on my team.
It's true. The gall to turn coat.
I know.
After carrying you this far and then pick Jacob up and carry him across the finish line. It's special. Baker Mayfield had a special BQBL season.
He did. But anyway, congratulations to Jake, who wins his first title, his first BQBL title. He finished with 83 wins. I finished with 79.5, finishing second, I think maybe for the second time. Alex, you were third. A couple wins back of me at 77.5. And Sarah finished fourth, also above 70. So a bunch of high scores ultimately that did not didn't matter. But I mean, still over 70 is a pretty good season. So four people did that.
Yeah, good. Some very good seasons, some not so good seasons. But there were some games that I think are worth focusing on.
Yeah,
this week was one of the highest scoring weeks of the season. Two teams scored over 100. It's probably worth first dwelling on Carolina because you mentioned them. And they did something that's really special, which is that they won a game and scored over 100 BQBL points.
Yeah. And we didn't
go back. I am confident that's never happened.
Yeah, I'm confident that's never happened. We didn't go back and check to confirm, but I feel very confident that that has never happened
before. Sam Darnold completed how many passes?
It would have been a much higher score, except for he's five of 15. It would have been a much higher score, except for
not on the game winning drive. How many in the entire game he completed five passes?
Yes, on the game winning drive, he completed one pass for 21 yards, but that was about almost half of the 44 yards he finished with.
Yeah, just under half. He did complete two additional passes, of course. Those passes were completed to the Saints for two interceptions, which he combined with two fumbles kept, obviously no long passes, and 43 total passing yards. Truly a spectacular performance. Neither team in this game showed any interest in winning the game.
No.
They're both eliminated from the playoffs. Both teams ran the ball over 30 times. Carolina rushed the ball over 40 times and won.
And we've seen a lot of performances this year under 100, but the under 50 is extremely rare, especially under, like, I don't think I've ever seen an under 50. This was in New Orleans, right?
The game was in New Orleans.
Yeah, so this is under 50 in a dome. Normally, when we have under 50, it's a weather issue or something.
Under 50 in a dome with the quarterback that they meant to start the game with.
Yeah.
A quarterback who was drafted in the top three. So it wasn't like it was, you know, Hinton. What was his name? Kendall Hinton?
Kendall Hinton, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't Kendall Hinton starting this game. It was not an actual running back.
Yeah.
It was an actual NFL quarterback. I mean, asterisk, obviously, but it was Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
What kind of ghost do you think you see when you pass for 43 yards and win?
I don't know. I would say the last time that happened is presumably literally ghosts. I assume it was in the 20s sometime.
Yes, everyone involved in that game are now ghosts. That's 100% true.
Yeah, they're ghosts of the Army-Navy game or something, or Princeton versus whoever. I don't know.
Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers versus the Rutgers, exactly.
Almost certainly Princeton Rutgers. They're all either congressmen or dead, or both. So that was an impressive feat. And I don't want to spoil some of the awards that we have for later, but is really the ultimate summary statement for the thesis of this BQBL season was this Carolina game. Like this is the paragraph that drives home the PhD dissertation of this season. Was Sam Darnold winning, going 5 for 15 for 43 yards with no touchdowns and two picks, and beating another team with Andy Dalton, but an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. And again, put up a BQBL zero.
Zero. 0 points for New Orleans. Truly.
Truly remarkable.
A remarkable performance. How did he put up a zero? He's passed for 171 yards.
Oh, did he pass for 171 yards?
Yeah, it should be a six.
Okay, it should be a six. Okay. Put up a six. Okay,
he put up a six.
Yes.
He put up a six. Sorry. I can understand why your mind was elsewhere when we scored this game.
Yeah, it was definitely elsewhere. There were so many points to keep track of on the other side.
Somehow, Carolina was not the highest scorer.
It was not. We already mentioned them, but we should go back to this game.
So, in a game that mattered, unlike the previous game, which clearly did not matter, in a game that mattered, the Dallas Cowboys went up against Washington, who had been eliminated, I believe.
I have the same confusion that Ron Rivera had last week, but yes they were eliminated last week.
Right. He didn't know they could be eliminated, but they were eliminated. He was then informed that they were eliminated, and he said, so they started Sam Howell this week, which you would think would be capitulation, given that they had Carson Wentz, they had Taylor Heineke.
I was about to ask, is that capitulation if your option is Carson Wentz? Which is the better choice?
They immediately said Sam Howell is their future. It didn't take them any time at all to say Sam Howell is this team's future. That's how much they like their other quarterbacks.
Yeah. So anyway, Prescott, 14 for 37, as we already mentioned. So it's rare to see quarterbacks go below 40% 2 in 1 week is again, without weather, is extremely rare. And then he threw one interception, but he made it count. It was pick sixed. And then he got benched for Cooper Rush.
Long of 15 in this game. So, on 43 passing yards, Sam Darnold managed to have a longer pass than Dak Prescott did. And may I remind you that Dak Prescott had both CeeDee Lamb and T.Y. Hilton at his disposal this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was caught 5 of his 7 targets, and his long was 15. It wasn't even like he was being targeted and they were off target. But I don't know. I have no idea.
They threw 4 balls to T.Y. Hilton. How old is T.Y. Hilton?
No idea. I mean, he's probably like 33, right?
But he is 33. Good guess.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and we know that speed merchants usually age very well, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, last week, he surprised, or a couple weeks ago, whenever he caught that, like, 50-yard conversion, a 3rd and 20 or whatever it was, 3rd and 30, was it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know that you're talking.
Fair. Yeah, it was 3rd and 30 2 weeks ago.
And he converted a long play.
He converted 3rd and 30. I think it was his first reception. I'm pretty sure the other team didn't realize he was on the Cowboys.
That's actually an effective strategy, is to put T.Y. Hilton on the roster as a surprise, like the Ravens did with Deshaun Jackson, and then he gets open deep, and they're like, "Oh man, I remember that guy."
Yeah. Well, didn't you say that there was a defensive player who pretended not to be on the field recently?
Yeah, that was the Aiden Hutchinson play. Fantastic play. So it's a mental game, this game that we play, or that we talk about people playing. I shouldn't say we play. So yeah, Dallas put up 107. That's the long and the short of it. Second highest score on the season. The last 2 weeks have seen three of the highest four scores on the season. So the season went out with a bang. It was pretty much everything we could ask for from a final week in BQBL, except for Jake actually did win. And Jake will join us a little later on the podcast for his celebratory interview, a new tradition that that we'll do, provided it's not Joseph that wins. Just kidding. Joseph, you can come on too. So the other scores worth noting this week, Tennessee and Josh Dobbs put up another fairly solid performance. There was a bit of a race this week to see who would be the top scoring team. It obviously came down to Tennessee and Carolina, and it was a photo finish. But Carolina's 103 put them ahead by 1 point.
They almost gave it back with the game-winning drive.
They almost gave it back with the game-winning drive. But so the two highest scoring teams this year were Tennessee with 475 points scored and Carolina with 476 points scored. The next highest scoring team, I believe, was the LA Rams, the other team that Baker Mayfield touched. So if Baker Mayfield was on your team this year, you scored 400 BQBL points as a team. And as a point of reference, Will scored 467 points total across all four of his teams.
That's brutal. And then amazingly, Will did not finish last.
Or even second to last.
No. Yeah.
So yeah, he was.
We can come back to that.
But, yeah, we'll come back. Once again, Will, very efficient.
Yes.
Except in the draft. You should try to be efficient earlier in the season, like in the draft. Let's see.
It's worth noting, that you started Chicago and Chicago decided that they were going to run the alternating starters where those quick QBs were Nathan Peterman and
Tim Boyle.
Yeah, I blanked on the
Boyle,
first name.
Not Doyle.
Tim Boyle. Boyle.
Yes, it didn't work.
It did not work.
It did not work. But Peterman.
Although it did work. It did work because they got the number one pick.
they got the number one pick. So yes, it did technically work. Nathan Peterman was the better of the two quarterbacks somehow. Our old friend Nathan Peterman.
He didn't even throw an interception.
He didn't even throw an interception.
You gotta give the people what they came here for.
Tim Boyle did though.
Yeah, he did.
it's not clear if they only put in Tim Boyle because they were worried that they would win starting Nathan Peterman.
Did you see a highlight of Boyle's first interception?
No. Was it good?
It was a very probably pretty much definition of an arm punt. I mean, it was like he threw I presumably intended to be a jump ball to a receiver who did not run a go route.
Ooh.
And so it was an extremely, extremely like lazy. The defender had time to like camp under it. There was no one on the Bears around him as he made the interception.
Was it Chase Claypool? Tell me it was Chase Claypool he threw it to.
That's a good question.
They paid the 32nd overall pick for Chase Claypool upcoming draft.
That's tough. Yeah, it was intended for Chase Claypool.
Yeah, it's possible that that was not the best use of their draft capital. But first overall pick will be an interesting thing to happen for our friend Josh Fields. Josh Fields is the guy I went to college with.
Oh, is that right?
Shout out to Space Boy. Shout out to Space Boy if he's listening, and he's not.
Gonna say me not knowing Tim Doyle, Boyle, Hoyle, whatever is one.
Oh, I get to O'Doyle.
O'Doyle. yes, but yeah, I think you should know Fields. Anyway,
that guy rules. Anyway, you briefly mentioned Arizona, who started David Blau and actually did come through for you this week after not coming through for you last week.
Yeah, Blau got hurt, so I did get some McSorley.
because of the Blau injury.
Because of the Blau injury, I did get McSorley for a bit, which was helpful for my BQBL scores. But yeah, but they did 38. I finished with 141.
Yeah, that's four turnovers, by the way, between yeah, Blau and McSorley.
Just four turnovers. So yeah, I finished with 141, and I actually think that might have been the week high for the season.
I mean, it should be.
Yeah. So you scored 128 in week two, which was the previous.
Yeah, you definitely took it home.
Yeah, so that was, yeah. Finished strong. There was 100. You scored 103 in week 16. Joe scored 118. Yeah, so 141 is the high. But again, not quite enough. I really needed it last week. Some of those points last week would have been good. There was a high score also from Baltimore. Again, Russ
Anthony Brown Jr.
didn't start teams, so he did not start Baltimore. But yeah, Anthony Brown. There were a lot of backup quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, so this week we had Anthony Brown, I believe Jr., Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs, got another start out of Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, we saw Desmond Ridder, Blaine Gabbert, Kyle Trask all make appearances this week. we mentioned Boyle, Peterman, Nick Mullins made an appearance. Jeff Driscoll and Davis Mills, are any of those backups? How about Sam Ellinger?
They're both backups.
not to mention the Joe Flacco Skylar Thompson matchup.
I was going
to
say Skylar Thompson. We can't forget Skylar Thompson.
That game ended up 11-6. A football game.
You already mentioned Blaine Gabbert.
I believe I did.
Okay.
And Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we talked at length about Sam Darnold and Andy Dalton, clearly both backups. It was a star-studded week. Chase Daniel, one of the backup extraordinaires in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Games. Yep, mm-hmm. Forgot about that one. And then we also already mentioned this quickly, but there was also Cooper Rush, who saw snaps. And Sam Howell.
Yeah, so it was really a week of where it was tailor-made for bad quarterbacks. Week 18 is like the preseason, really, just tacked on to the end of the season, and it matters for like three teams, and then the rest of them it somehow doesn't matter for.
Right.
And even if it does matter for you, it's no guarantee that you put forth any effort, right, Dallas?
Well, this is something that I think we've talked about. It was definitely this season set the record for most starting quarterbacks in an NFL season. And so there was, this.
How do you define starting? They started games.
They started games.
Okay. Cause they're not starters.
Yes.
Most are starting quarterbacks.
That's fair. The most quarterbacks, starting different quarterbacks who started a game.
Fair.
So yeah, we saw a lot of these in week 18. And as you mentioned a few of these, it's probably goodbye to a lot of these quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's probably worth doing our Happy Trails segment. At this point, we are at least 50% certain that we've seen the end of some quarterbacks who've been with us really since the start of BQBL.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm gonna get some Oscars in memoriam music. Okay.
Wow, you had that queued up. I love that. Matt Ryan. He did things for a long time, and then he got benched for Sam Ellinger.
He did.
After coming to the Colts. The Colts are officially, by the way, like the Florida of the NFL.
Where quarterbacks go to live their last years and die.
Exactly. Matthew Stafford
possibly
won a Super Bowl, and then the very next season, the whole team was like, do we really have to do it again? And they went through the motions of like doing the we're running back thing, and then no one believed it, and they just... What place did they... Did they come in like third to last?
Something like that. Yeah.
Ah, just incredible. Joe Flacco is probably done.
Yep, I think he said... I think he already said he's retiring, maybe?
His whole family was at the game.
Yeah.
Including like his children, and I think some of his children are old enough to vote. So like, it's... He's been around for a while. Obviously the GOAT for winning the Super Bowl in 2013, for the 2012 season, but that was 10 years ago. And he hasn't really been good since then, for being totally honest with ourselves.
Nope.
But he's still in the NFL. And lastly, Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz lastly.
Survived Florida and then went to Washington, D.C.
And survived Indianapolis, actually.
Well, that was the Florida, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
Try to keep up, please.
Apologies.
Yeah, but it turns out that it didn't work. And Sam Howell is the future.
We can probably say goodbye to Jameis Winston.
Oh, I don't know.
No?
I feel like he's not ready to go. He and Marcus Mariota looked relatively feisty, but... Yep. But not like feisty starters, like feisty backups.
Yeah, that's fair. There's a handful of those, right, where you're probably saying goodbye to them as starters. Jacoby Brissett.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, quite possibly.
Taylor Heinicke probably belongs in this category.
Nick Foles?
Ooh, yeah. Well, Nick Foles, we might have seen the last of. This was a really bad Nick Foles that we just saw.
Yeah, it was.
I'm adding Nick Foles to the in memoriam. But
Aaron
Sam
Rodgers?
Darnold, I don't think anyone's going to have Sam Darnold start a game from now on.
But... I think that's probably true. A lot of those Panthers, PJ Walker also.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's possible we see a Geno Smith thing happen where like miraculously somewhere down the road, we see a monkey paw, like have one little digit, like curl up and Geno Smith happens, but, it doesn't seem terribly likely for any of these guys. But as backups, who knows? Maybe they come in for an injured starter. You never know.
Yeah. Derek Carr is almost certainly... He'll probably start again, but somewhere else.
Yes. Carr's starting days in Oakland are clearly over. In fact, they did not want him to get hurt because he has a guarantee escalator in his contract if he gets hurt. They pulled him out of the game because they were certain at this point, not only were they eliminated, but they didn't want him anymore.
We can't forget the fact that Mitchell Trubisky started multiple games this season, probably for the last time.
Yeah. Did you just move to Wind Beneath My Wings?
Oh, yeah. Nope. Yeah, sorry. the Oscars ended and they went to a different song, correct?
Wait, was it? Oh, was that Bette Midler singing?
It was Bette Midler.
So sorry for stopping Bette Midler for anyone who observes. So other guys changing teams besides
Trubisky,
Carr.
Hold on. Trubisky, Davis Mills, I want to point out as well.
Yeah, Davis Mills is probably in the backup area. And I think Trubisky earned enough to probably be...
A backup.
But, I mean, he always was going to be after... That initial thing. He's in the Blaine Gabbert, you know, what's the guy's name from Jacksonville?
Blake Bortles?
Bortles. Yeah. Blake Bortles. No, they're in the whoopsies, but I guess they're good enough to be a backup category.
Okay.
Guys who will probably start next season, though, but who knows where. You mentioned Derek Carr. Probably the last time we'll see him in black, silver and black. Certainly the last time we're going to see Tom Brady, in whatever colors is that, pewter and like reddish orange.
Yeah. What, who knows?
I don't even know what colors they are down there. Pewter and gold. Who knows? Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Might've played his last downs in,
Green Bay.
In that particular shade of green. And Baker Mayfield. Our man.
Yeah.
I doubt they bring him back. What do you think? Daniel Jones? Do you think Daniel Jones could...
I still think Daniel Jones is going to get re-signed there.
That means they're either going to have to sign him or franchise him.
Yeah. And I believe if I had to bet, I would bet on them signing him.
Turning down the fifth year option and then sticking with a guy.
Yeah. Oof. There's definitely regret turning down that option. I would have to say.
Yeah. That's like calling off a wedding twice, but then having it a third time. Everyone present is like, are you sure? Have you thought this all the way through? Yeah. And then there's probably a special category for guys who the teams just can't get rid of because of contracts and other things, but guys who the teams are stuck with. And it number one with a bullet, this team just fired their coach and their GM stepped away, quote unquote.
Quote unquote, yes. Can't see the air quotes.
But Kyler Murray, that's a big contract for a guy who can't play and is not that big. Sorry, there's supposed to be a better big tie-in there. Didn't work. Speaking of not very big, another guy who's not very big and also not very good this season. Russell Wilson.
Oof. Russell, yeah.
But that contract, again, extra large.
It is. What do you think? Jim Harbaugh go there and Sean Payton? Who's going to Denver?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to be Harbaugh to Denver because Sean Payton can be pickier.
Yep. Well, there's also Denver Carolina,
doesn't have
right?
Any, Denver doesn't have any draft capital because you have to trade for Sean Payton, you see. Sean Payton can't just be signed. You must trade in New Orleans for Sean Payton, which is fantastic because there's no guarantee he's even going to try.
Nope. No guarantee.
What do you think about Deshaun Watson?
I would prefer not to think about Deshaun Watson.
Perfect. Zach Wilson, did you see his latest quote? Yeah. That he's going to make practice a living hell for whatever veteran they bring in.
Did he specify what position? We're talking about veteran wide receivers?
No, veteran quarterback. Anyone on the team, especially if they have a hot mom, Zach Wilson is going to make their time with the team a living hell. Is there a guy who's not understood being a quarterback any more than Zach Wilson doesn't understand being an NFL quarterback?
You're probably going back to like Ryan Leaf at the time.
I don't know. Like if you could brain swap Mike White into Zach Wilson, that quarterback would be good.
Yes.
The problem is that Zach Wilson has maybe the worst brain for an NFL quarterback since I'm going to go with Jamarcus Russell.
That's fair.
Yeah. Wow. And then last quarterback. Is it spicy to say Dak Prescott?
Yeah, yes, it's not. It is both spicy and fair.
Yeah, Dallas this season, not good. Defense was very good. The offense did not even hold serve.
Yep.
So excited to see what happens with all these quarterbacks and teams next year. It's going to make for certainly another good BQBL season, but we've delayed long enough. I think it's time for the awards.
I think we wanted to say there's one more thing I think we need to hit on before we get into awards, and that was, please, we talked a bunch about first place. There was a close battle for last place.
Ah, yes, you're right. Yes.
So we mentioned already that Nick that Russ did not start teams again this week.
Yeah.
He was in a battle
It's a bold strategy. How do you think it worked out for him?
Actually, surprisingly well. He scored... he was able to still put up two wins. We mentioned that Will didn't score any points. Joe only scored six. And he was able to beat. So Russ finished with 39 wins, one ahead of Nick, who finished with 38. Nick, fewest points on the season.
Fewest wins or fewest points?
Fewest points as well. Overall, Nick had the fewest points started and the fewest wins.
Of course, of course. Yeah. It looks like Russ has the fewest points started.
Oh, you're right. Russ has the fewest points started. Sorry. I was only looking at Will.
you only have eyes for William.
So, yes. Nick finished last. Congrats to Russ, I suppose, for avoiding that.
Much like he avoided submitting starters most weeks. Yes.
But now with that, Alex, we can move on to the awards.
Right. Well, the first award, apropos of the previous discussion, was Mr. Negative. The highest number of negative scores in the season easily went to Russ. Russ had 12 negative scores on the season. As a reminder, the maximum number of negative scores that you could possibly have would be 36. So one third of the possible number of negative scores that he could have had, he did have.
Yeah, congrats there.
Mostly did it by not submitting starters or submitting the wrong starters.
Yes. Yep. Not submitting starters is an excellent way to get negatives.
Yep. On the other hand, the positive.
Yes, yeah, so this is the fewest negative scores, right?
The Mr.'s positive, which I still don't know how to properly abbreviate, but the fewest number of negative scores on the season. This was actually a tie.
Yeah.
Two different owners with one thing in common, and that's that they were both Hoffmans. Matthew and William both only had two negative scores started on the season. Everyone else had more than that. I had three. Sarah had four. Jake had five.
And I'll say, right, this is congrats. This is impressive for Will, who, as you just said, scored the fewest points overall. So the fact that he was able to time them well is impressive, deserves commendation for that.
Yes, we do track efficiency, and this is one of the more efficient seasons that we've seen. Will scored 423 points. He only had 44 points on his bench. And that's if you net out the positives and the negatives, obviously. But he managed to yield 90.6% of his total 467 points that he could have scored.
That's excellent.
Very, very, very good. So well done, except for maybe try drafting better next time.
And so then on the other side, we would say the middle, right? We're not, and that would go to Nick and to Sarah, both of whom just sort of hung around in the middle, did not have, had only a combination of two. Sarah had 2 week highs, no week lows. Nick had 2 week lows and no week highs.
Right. Really mirror images of each other.
Yeah. And it's impressive for Nick. I mean, he finished with the fewest wins, but was only low two times, which means he probably did a lot of finishing with only a couple wins. So that was kudos there. Yeah.
But both consistent. Nick consistently bad, Sarah consistently good, but neither one really excellent in their field. I guess Nick did end up taking the title of last place. So,
yes.
You know, a compiler, really.
Yes, exactly.
Of you know, bad performances, but not horrible like Russ.
Yes. So we mentioned the draft, Alex. Do you want to go into some of the draft awards?
Yeah. So the best value pick was, without a doubt, the second pick in the fourth round, where Jake took the LA Rams, who were coming off of a Super Bowl win and ended up with the fourth most points of any of the teams this season. Actually, it was the third most, because Will himself was in third place. So Will's team was the third best, and that always screws up our rankings when you have a team that scores one owner scores as few points as the teams do. So the third place Rams were a fourth round team. Impressive by Jacob, and they really kind of drove him to his championship. Whereas the worst pick, I think, is fairly clear.
Yeah, and that is number one overall.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Will had the number one overall pick. He picked Seattle. he thought looking at Geno Smith and Drew Lock was a recipe for success, and they were in fact the 25th highest scoring team. The worst pick of the first round, as a matter of fact, the first pick overall. Truly a remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not gonna. It did not work out. I can't blame him too much because, man, did any of us see that coming?
No, nobody saw the recurrent, like the monkey paw, as we referred to earlier, of Geno Smith's career resurgence. But hey, kudos to Geno.
Yeah. So we saw a handful of rookie quarterbacks start this year, Alex, but I'll let you award the rookie of the year because he was on your team.
He was on my team. And he was, he didn't start for a lot of games. And you could say it's because he was a third round pick. You could say it was because the team was scared to have him throw the ball or run the ball. You could say a lot of things, but Malik Willis was our rookie of the year. He is one of the forces that drove Tennessee to being the second highest scoring team. And really the only team that scored over 400 points without Baker Mayfield and his intervention. So it took a lot for Ryan Tannehill, Josh Dobbs, and Malik Willis. But if the best part of Malik Willis, in my opinion, is that after giving him a few games, they decided to sign Josh Dobbs off the street and start him because it gave them a better chance to win.
Yeah. So just for the record, the game log of the games Malik Willis started, which I believe were three, 14 for 23 for 99 yards, 5 for 16 for 80 yards, 6 for 10 for 55 yards. And in those, and so he wasn't throwing the ball. You mentioned the fact that he wasn't really running in those games, 43, 40, and 12 rushing yards.
Truly, when we saw Desmond Ridder have some success,
yeah,
we saw Sam Howell have more success in one game than I think Malik Willis had in three games. Certainly, yeah. Sam Howell came out with a win, which Malik Willis never managed to do. And it was maybe there was one Malik Willis win. I think it was one of the ones where Travis Henry ran the ball for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, they beat Houston, so kudos.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably something worth saying about Lovie Smith and Houston not getting that first overall pick, but just a lovely send-off that he gave them. Never tell your coach you're going to fire him before a game where if he wins the game, you don't get the number one overall pick, because he will win that game out of spite. For all of you owners out there. Anyway, Malik Willis is our rookie of the year because there weren't that many to choose from, honestly. Kenny Pickett was kind of good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Kenny Pickett was kind of good.
It made the first round selection of Pittsburgh by Nick not very fruitful. And even Desmond Ridder looked fine.
He did.
Yeah, so it had to be Malik Willis.
I was as a Desmond Ridder owner, I was scared to start him by the end of the season. So
I mean, it's for something.
Yeah.
The next two awards are for the most and least efficient owner. We already talked about the most efficient. It was Will by far. The least efficient, again, this was mostly due to not submitting starters, which really hurts your chances. But Russ was the least efficient, but only by a slight margin over Nick, who submitted every week and still managed to be under 40% of his possible points.
Oof. Ouch.
So I'm not going to say that Nick should try not submitting, because it will obviously turn out worse, but maybe, try something else. Not sure. don't do that again.
Okay. Now we get to some of the big awards. MVP.
This one's not going to be a surprise to anyone. But please, Matthew.
Okay.
It would feel wrong for anyone else to say it.
The most valuable player of the 2022-2023 BQBL season is Baker Mayfield.
Clearly Baker Mayfield. We've never seen a quarterback carry two teams in one season to BQBL stardom. And that's what Baker Mayfield did.
Where he, yeah, he, I mean, normally the real quality BQBL quarterbacks are sort of like shooting stars. They're bright and brilliant, but they burn out quickly. You know, if they're bad, they're not supposed to get another chance, especially not in that season. And yet, Carolina gave up on Baker. They cut him. It was the only 24/7 points of the season.
Yep,
and then, ran for like, oh, it's Monday. I want that guy to start on, to play on Thursday.
Yeah, and this was actually one of our almost. I think this actually, let's skip to it because this is our most 2022 moment.
That was the most 2022 moment. Yeah. Okay.
Was Baker got cut on Monday, waived on Monday, claimed Tuesday, started Thursday. He had one practice on Wednesday with his new team.
Did not technically start. He came in. It was a benching.
Excuse me. You're right. Because as discussed at length,
Wolford started.
They put in Wolford to hand the ball off three times despite his injury. And then they started. And then they put Baker Mayfield in after that. And Baker Mayfield won the game. Was he good?
No.
No. Did he win?
Yeah.
Kind of. But that was, so that moment really encapsulated this season. Is Sean McVay a genius? No. Did Sean McVay get his team to perform at their peak level this season? Definitely not. Will Sean McVay make a lot of money in the booth?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. He's going to make next season scads and scads of money as a booth presence for the rest of his life.
Yes, he absolutely. Well, he'll probably come back to coaching at some time. He'll be Sean Payton in 3 years.
Maybe he could end up going the Gruden route.
Hopefully, he doesn't go the full Gruden.
No one should go full Gruden. But I think he'll spend a good amount of time in the booth because that lifestyle, man, is so much easier.
It is.
Plus, what's the point of having a hot wife if you're going to spend zero time with her? Don't answer that. So yeah, that was our MVP as well as our most 2022 moment, all in one player situation, two teams, both excellent. The number one and number three highest scoring teams of the season. Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. The least valuable player we mentioned a bit already, right? We mentioned that Will had the worst pick with Seattle, and that was all due to likely the NFL comeback player of the year. That would be Geno Smith.
He of the most punchable face in the NFL. there were some other candidates for this one. Kenny Pickett, we mentioned. Daniel Jones, we even mentioned.
Yeah.
Who was brought back from the dead by Brian Daboll. As well as Kyle Shanahan, who managed to turn a quarterback controversy into Brock Purdy starting playoff games.
Yeah, undefeated Brock Purdy.
Undefeated Brock Purdy. I truly don't understand.
No, I don't get it. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan. Best moment, Alex, of the season.
Oh, the best moment. So we mentioned the most 2022 moment, which was just the moment that was emblematic of the season. However, the best moment overall was the very first time we've ever gotten to roll out the 50-point worst play that a quarterback can make.
Yep.
There is only one play in the entirety of BQBL scoring that a quarterback can make that is a 50-point negative, and that is the overtime pick six to lose the game.
The Matt Hasselbeck.
We're going to take the ball and we're going to score. Boom. Other way, you lose. It had never been done. We put the rule in place because of Matt Hasselbeck, who did it in like 2006 or something. It hasn't been done since then. This year, Dak Prescott did it. Dak Prescott threw an overtime pick six to lose the game.
It was beautiful.
the Dallas Cowboys are terrible.
and
it's Dak's fault. And Mike McCarthy's going to get fired for it. And
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are terrible, and they are going to beat the Dallas Cowboys this week. So this is as you said,
that a real playoff game?
It is happening. I swear. you mentioned this is a moment that sort of transcended just the season. There was another moment this season, also named for a former quarterback, and that was there's no scoring for this. We didn't put that in, right. But maybe we should for next year. Because Jimmy Garoppolo pulled an Orlovsky.
He did. And for the uninitiated, an Orlovsky is when you take a snap from deep in your own territory, usually the 1 or 2 yard line, and then you just run out the back of your own end zone for a safety, but you don't even know you've done it. Garoppolo actually went a little further, and he riffed on the theme by stepping out of bounds and then throwing a pick six, which I thought was a good addition because it gives him the old okie doke. You think that you're going to get 6 points, but you only get 2 and the ball.
Yep. Anyway, we got to remember to put an Orlovsky scoring in there.
Yes, the Orlovsky needs to be added. What color should I make that? Should I make that like a gold? There we go.
Beautiful. And there's one more, right? There's less direct quarterbacking, but it bears mentioning because it was definitely noteworthy for the season. And that was the complete and total meltdown of the Colts organization. There was quarterback ramifications because already they started Matt Ryan. They pulled him for Sam Ellinger, who is going to be the quarterback of the future. They hired Jeff Saturday, who immediately brought back Matt Ryan and then benched him again quickly. It was just a total disaster, ending fittingly on the last game of the season where they blew a game to the Houston Texans in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, I recently saw a recitation of the number of staff members that they asked to become the play caller for the Colts. So first they asked, one of the coordinators or like one of the assistant coaches, and he said, "Do I get a pay raise if I'm going to be the play caller?" And they said, "No." So he said, "Okay, no." And then they asked another person who also asked for a pay raise, and they also said no. And then they finally settled on their third choice.
Wow.
Who didn't ask for a pay raise. So if you wanted to be the play, your first play calling experience to be Sam Ellinger for the terrible Indianapolis.
No, they brought back Matt Ryan.
For a game or two.
Well, yeah, but I mean that was who you're gonna call plays for.
I guess.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
It didn't. No, didn't work.
The Colts finished 4-12-1. Jeff Saturday was responsible for how many of those wins? Precisely one.
One, probably yes. One.
Over the Raiders.
Yeah, over the Raiders. And if you think about the standings, as it turned out, the second worst record was the Houston Texans, who finished 3-13-1. And the Colts are responsible for one of those wins and that tie.
Yes. I kind of wished that this final game had been a tie. The season started with a 20-20 Texans-Colts tie.
Yeah.
It ended with a 32-31 Texans win over the Colts.
Yep.
Thereby costing the Texans the first overall pick, but somehow bookending just an awful season for all franchises involved. Really putrid seasons from the Colts, who should have been much, much better. Should not have fired Frank Reich. He did not deserve this. It was not his fault. I mean, he beat the Chiefs. He beat the Jaguars. He beat the Broncos. I mean, like, they weren't good wins, but they won.
They won.
I mean, they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What do they want from him? And then they decided that they wanted a high pick. They wanted a new quarterback. So they decided to flop the season and put Jeff Saturday in there.
You want to combine these next, the best game and the best new trend? Because the best game is sort of the epitome of the best new trend.
Yes, I do. The best new trend is that the team that wins the game also scores more BQBL points. This season, we saw something that we really weren't used to, which is teams were winning and they were outscoring the losing team in BQBL. They were making more mistakes. They were throwing the ball less. They were doing less on offense and they were winning the game. They were making it's epitomized by Carolina scoring, what was it, 107 points?
103.
And 103, and New Orleans scoring six.
But Carolina having a game-winning drive and winning.
Unbelievable. Yet it happened time and time again this season. It was great, though. Great for BQBL. Because we had previously thought that if you won the game, you were probably going to score fewer points. But this opens up a ton of possibilities. And it's exciting.
Yeah, no, I mean, the NFL is more creative than ever. I appreciate that.
The runner-up for the award was...
and related, right?
Yes, exactly. Was some teams that just decided that they just didn't feel like throwing the ball and that their best chance was running it instead. And Justin Fields was the epitome of that this year, where he routinely would run for more yards than he passed for. In fact, that's another thing that gets to be gold because he ran for so many yards that we realized that we didn't have enough thresholds.
Yeah.
We didn't think quarterbacks would be running for over 150 yards such that we needed a threshold, but we do.
Yeah. So yeah, congrats.
Even after what, 10 years, this game is still surprising us.
Now I think that the actor two are our favorites. Right.
Yeah. Would you like to announce the comeback player of the year?
Yeah. Comeback player of the year award this year. We decided to award it. I'm trying to decide. I'm not sure how I feel about this actually, but we're awarding it to Russell Wilson. He wasn't good last year, but he wasn't, quite as spectacular. And this year he was spectacular. So last year on Seattle, that team had some injuries, but finished with 105 total points. And this season on Denver, they were stellar. They finished, 11th overall in total. And he was just bad. Like, he was bad. He looks like he might be done.
The play calling was clearly bad. But
it was bad. They looked much better after they fired him, to be fair. But and so he'll get another chance. Maybe he'll be better next year. I feel a little bit weird now calling him the comeback player of the year because he was good for real life good for a while. He was awarded the comeback player of the year. So congrats to Russell Wilson. There were a few runners.
Well, up. I mean, I think really, and if I can just slightly disagree.
Yeah.
There was a whole time when Let Russ Cook was a thing.
Yes.
And everyone was calling for Seattle to let Russ throw the ball more.
Yes.
Now, it wouldn't have been this offense that they were calling for, certainly.
No.
It would have been an offense that was catered to what he does well, which is throw the ball deep. And they didn't do any of that at all.
Yes. Yeah, the concern was Seattle built a team with a quarterback who likes throwing deep and two receivers who are very good at going deep, and then they didn't throw deep.
But, I mean, they threw deep more than Denver threw deep this year, which is threw deep zero. And it's arguably the only thing besides scrambling that Russell Wilson does well.
Yeah, and I don't think he even scrambles well anymore.
No. And there was a longstanding tracker for whether Russell Wilson had more bathrooms in his new mansion in Denver or touchdowns on the season. And it took until the second to last week of the season for him to have more touchdowns than bathrooms. Oof. I believe the bathroom count was about 13 or 14.
Is that what I was saying? How many bathrooms?
Wow. I mean, look, it's a mansion. He and Sierra have a lot of kids. And Lord knows that Sierra is not going to go anywhere near Russ when Russ is cooking, if you know what I mean. So that wasn't the only player we considered for comeback player of the year. Some old favorites returned. Obviously Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Nathan Peterman. we got to see some time with him, although he wasn't as bad as he'd been previously.
No. Sam Darnold.
Very good this year. Ghosts all around.
Ghosts everywhere. PJ Walker.
And Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. Man, I think before the season there was concern that we would know at the end of the season whether Tua was good or not. You know, it was like, look, at least we're going to know, right? Is Tua good or is Tua not good? We're going to know. Tua's good. His head is not good. Teddy Bridgewater unequivocally is not good. Because yes, he had two of the best receivers in the game, and all he could do was throw short and get injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Horrible. Teddy Bridgewater needs to be done.
Yeah. Okay. And I think one of our favorite awards, right, Alex, would you like to do our favorite quarterback of the year?
Yeah.
Just we'll special recognition.
Yeah. Should we do runners up first?
Sure. Runners up.
Runners up first.
Well, we each had one of these. So why don't you want to start with third, who was on your team?
Yes. So Justin Fields was our third favorite quarterback this year. Obviously, we couldn't pick Baker Mayfield, because if we could pick Baker Mayfield for multiple categories, he would win every category.
Yeah, he was also probably the comeback player of the year and so on.
He was sublime. But you can't win all the awards. It's a rule. So our third favorite quarterback this year was Justin Fields. Justin Fields was supposed to have growth during the season, but what happened was instead they were like, well, what if instead of passing, we just run the ball? And it worked, kind of. I mean, it didn't turn into wins at all, but it did turn into yards and fantasy points. Will it turn into them replacing him with Bryce Young? Also, maybe. But the creativity of the offense around him to say, well, maybe passing just isn't for us, and then to run the ball instead, made Chicago and Justin Fields our third favorite quarterback this year because of how consistently I don't think they threw the ball for over 200 yards a single week. Don't quote me on that, but
I certainly don't remember it.
I somehow doubt that they threw the ball for over 200 yards. I'll look up a game chart while you talk about our next favorite runner up.
Our second favorite quarterback of the year. And this is, you know, there's a whole story, but it is Kyler Murray. Murray started the season, got a new contract, a big contract extension. And then it came out that part of the deal with the extension, part of the contract, there was a clause just to make sure that he studied. There was concerns that he was playing too many video games instead of studying, which is fantastic. Exactly what you want to hear.
Yep.
Specifically
Call of Duty.
They
correlated his performances to the Call of Duty release dates and found that in the weeks after a Call of Duty release, he performed more poorly.
A new Call of Duty came out during the season. There was really not a huge difference that week as compared to the other weeks, because he really wasn't good just about any week. He had one of those seasons as someone who owned him where he would be terrible for 3 weeks, for three quarters, and then do just enough that his BQBL score was not high, but he was at no point good. He then got injured. He'll be out at the start of the season, and his coach has been fired. His GM, quote unquote, resigned. Total disaster in Arizona.
Stepped away.
Stepped away. So, for all of those reasons, Kyler Murray is number two, not our favorite, Alex.
I did our research, by the way. Okay. There was a 254. That was his high passing yardage this season. He also had a 208. But likewise, he had two games passing under 100 yards where he started and played the whole game.
Ouch.
So,
our favorite quarterback.
Yep. It was Zach Wilson.
It wasn't hard. That was not a hard choice.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about Zach Wilson having all the wrong things to say, which is true. We've talked a little bit about Zach Wilson liking moms, which is true. Who doesn't? They're great. Zach Wilson is so incredibly bad that his coach decided that Mike White, who'd been folded like a lawn chair and had five of his ribs broken, gave them a better chance to win than Zach Wilson did. Than Zach Wilson did. It really is a testament to how bad Zach Wilson is. They started Joe Flacco over him.
Yes.
Joe Flacco is nobody's future except for maybe like a local car dealership. And yet Zach Wilson got benched for Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Multiple times during the season.
Yeah.
Truly horrible. And I think whoever drafts him next year, he's gonna make their life a living hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's our final award. He was our favorite this year. Although obviously Baker Mayfield was also kind of our favorite.
Yes, was kind of our favorite. But yeah. Baker always has a special place in our hearts. Look forward to seeing what he does in the future.
Yeah. And in a moment, we will be joined by Jacob Blum for the winner's interview. But the one thing I want to say before we go is that this season has seen a lot of good things. The best thing by far that we've seen this season, and I think you'll agree, Matthew, is the yelling of Matt Millen, or just Millen, randomly, loud, inappropriately. I love it. You love it.
Yeah, it's definitely been a highlight.
I think we should end the season.
Millen!
We are joined now by the champion, Jacob Blum, his first ever BQBL championship. Jake, how does it feel to be the champion of BQBL after being one of the original teams?
I honestly never thought this day would come. I thought that Matt had some sort of like ownership of bad quarterbacking in a way that like I would never be able to break through that barrier. So I'm pretty surprised and very excited.
Well, he does keep the scores and score the games mostly. It was by his grace that he allowed you to win.
I'm going to say there was some mojo transfer that happened when Baker Mayfield left my team and went to Jake's team.
I mean, that is when the points started to stack up for Jacob.
It's true.
Yeah. And Jacob, just so you know, this segment will come after we've announced our awards for the season. Baker Mayfield's the MVP. I think it's very, very clear that Baker Mayfield is the best bad BQBL quarterback this year. Would you agree with that?
I mean, he certainly has done well for me, except for the one game against the Broncos, which somehow they scored like 51 points and he had a pretty good game. But
but he didn't do that much in that game. Like he didn't throw for a ton of yards.
He didn't throw for a ton of yards, but he had like a decent like throwing percentage, completion percentage, and he had a decent like he was like two touchdowns and no picks or something like that, which is it's not great, but
he didn't do anything wrong. Yeah,
I mean, it often happens that the Super Bowl MVP, they come up big in the biggest moments. And Baker, Jake was in danger of blowing a huge lead, right? There was a very real chance that he could not win after going into the week with an almost insurmountable lead. And overtime of the, next to last game of the season, Baker came up with the big miss throw when needed, and that's clutch.
What you have to know who you can rely on in certain situations to do what they need to do. And I just knew that Baker would come through for me when he had to,
I mean, the last, last few weeks of the season, it seemed like Washington was consistent for you and the Rams were pretty consistent for you. Was there one team that you felt like you really had a good feel for whether they were going to score points or not?
You know, I do think that the Jets were probably my favorite team to start, because any time that Zach Wilson was playing, I was like, oh, well, clearly he's the right option.
Yeah.
And then when someone else was starting, I was like, well, clearly they're not the right option. So, you know, I mean, that made it pretty easy for me, because I feel like in years past, I've been like, oh, I don't know when to start which team. But that was a clear indicator of when to start. And Zach Wilson, he just, oh, man.
Yeah, he was special this year.
Could have been drafted by Matt Millen and been like the epitome of this league, it's Zach Wilson.
Oh, totally. And it was funny, we were looking up some of your advanced stats, Jacob, because, you know, it was me and Matthew, and of course we were going to. You got a remarkably consistent amount of points from the Rams, the Jets, and the Commanders. You got between 216 and 222 points started from those three teams, all three of them.
Wow. Wow.
We're within 6 points in terms of the points you started. And the Rams, you only started 9 times, whereas the Jets and the Commanders, you started 10 times. Wow. Was there a reason you started Philadelphia 7 times as opposed to the league mandated 5 minimum? That seemed like an error.
Yeah. Well, so I started them started them 5 times with Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And then Minshew was a possibility. I was like, well, okay.
He was so tempting, right?
How exactly. Could we not? and they're in a good division where they're playing good defenses. And I was like, okay, I mean, if they're playing Dallas, that's not a bad place to start them. So so I started them some extra times because of that. But I didn't really – honestly, the 5th time I started Hurts was when he actually got hurt. And I was like, damn it, I could have just waited and he would have been injured again later.
Yeah, because you got 2 consecutive negative scores from starting Philadelphia. You got a negative 16 in week 13 and then a negative 13 in week 14. And, you know, obviously both times either the Rams or the Commanders or the Jets would have been a better start than one of those. You didn't really feel like you had a good idea of when Philly was going to score points, although you got a fine. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Minshew start was fine. It was 29 points. It was good, but
yeah.
And regardless of who you started that week, you were going to do fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, Philly was definitely a tough one to start. I mean, Hurts had a great year, but I was just trying to do the best I could with him. And I think it was after you guys sent out like, oh, you have to start this team one more time. And I was like, okay, well, I'll start Philly and that'll be my last Philly start. And then Hurts got injured and I was like, well, let me try him again.
Yeah.
Oh, and I actually think one of those was I had to start somebody else. I like tried to start the Commanders on their bye week or something.
So
I started Philly because I didn't realize that the Commanders were on bye, and so I otherwise would have started the other team, and that would have given me some points. So
did you try to start a team that you didn't own?
No. I think it was the Commanders on bye.
Yeah, it happened last season, Alex.
Oh, that was that one? Okay.
Yeah, I definitely did try to start someone that was not that someone I didn't own last year.
Excuse me.
This year, he just tried to start a team on bye. That's correct.
Yeah, although I do remember thinking that the bye team would have been better if you'd in fact gotten a 0.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Washington in week 14 that you tried to start them on bye, which would have been much better than the negative 13 you got from Philly.
Because let's be honest, week 14 byes, what the hell, man? What the hell?
No, I think we can all agree 18-game season is not great, but week 14 byes are really not great.
Yeah.
But that was also the week, right? That was the Thursday game, Baker Mayfield's first game with the Rams. when he missed the Thursday
spot, that was a huge turning point. He tried to compensate
by starting Washington.
That would have been, if you hadn't won, Jake, a huge turning point in the season, missing those the benching points for Baker Mayfield there. That would have been huge if it had ended up mattering.
Yeah.
And again, Baker Mayfield, his fingerprints are all over this season.
Yeah. He's a, you know, he's a special, special BQBL quarterback.
Where do you think he's going to be next year?
Oh my gosh.
come on, prognosticate for us.
So isn't he the perfect Jeff Saturday quarterback?
Oh God, for the Colts.
But question is, where is Jeff Saturday coaching? Which high school?
You don't think he's coaching the Colts? I think he's coaching the Colts. There's no way they're gonna let him go.
Oh my God.
After so much, like, putting so much stupid crap into, like, him being the person they thought he was gonna be, like,
but he did a fantastic job of losing them games. I don't really know what else beyond that he added.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even really get them to try hard in some of those games. So, no, I mean, I think that the issue was not Frank Reich. The issue was definitely Matt Ryan and all the other quarterbacks on their team.
So, tell me this. You see Baker Mayfield instead of Derek Carr as the as the quarterback for the Colts, why or why not?
If Jeff Saturday is there, I just think that that's the kind of guy that Jeff Saturday would go for. That's
whoa.
All.
Whoa.
Although,
you don't think he should just make a good backup to Matthew Stafford and for the Rams?
He might be. He might be.
Oh, Stafford's going to retire. Stafford's done.
Well, isn't McVay stepping away, isn't he?
They're all going to leave. Everyone is leaving that sinking ship. Or stinking
ship. What better captain for a sinking ship than Baker Mayfield?
Oh, that's very true. Do you think we'll keep him on to try and get the first pick overall?
But I actually think that the problem is that he...
That team doesn't have picks, Jake.
And they won slightly too many games with him. I do think that whoever ends up taking over for Les Snead or for McVay is going to have to embrace a team that has no talent on it and a bunch of players who just are very disdainful of having to be there playing for this terrible team.
You know who would be a great coach for them? Greg Roman.
Tom Sula. Jeff Tom Sula. Bring him back.
No, I mean... The Texans took David Culley from us. Let's give the Rams Greg Roman.
I actually think the hot take that I had, and because you're both Ravens fan, I want to hear this. Something that's not going to happen, but would be not the craziest thing to happen would be, one, let Lamar walk. Two, trade a first round pick for Justin Fields. Is that insane? And then the obviously the Bears select Bryce Young at 101.
How insane is that?
Is that insane?
It's insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, it's also letting Lamar walk doesn't make any sense, even if you were going to move on from Lamar. I don't understand why you don't franchise him and try to get something back.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely get at least three first round picks for him.
All right, so if you franchise and trade Lamar,
I mean, I think that the Colts, the Panthers, and the Falcons are all options where, like, those are teams that I think would pay, or the Commanders are all teams that would pay up for a guy like Lamar. Like, I'm talking three first-round picks and a good player.
I think the Bears could pay. They obviously have the most room, but they also have the first overall pick. The question is, are we willing to take the first overall pick, move on from Lamar, and then start with Bryce Young?
But why would they trade
first
round pick for Lamar and still have Fields? Exactly. And we would have Fields and or even if they trade us Fields and the first round pick, like why would we do that when the first round pick is gonna be Bryce Young and then we'd it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, but I don't think it makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. You're right. I was just trying to stir the pot.
I mean, I think that the Texans are quasi interesting because maybe Davis Mills for Lamar. Davis Mills, the like 102 or whatever they have now. And
love a couple of Davis Mills.
For Lamar would be interesting.
Why do you love Davis Mills so much?
You're always willing to stick your neck out for him.
Nice. I've watched him play a couple times and I feel like he's pretty decent. Like, and funny enough, I saw something not too long ago that was saying like, if they redrafted that first round, like all of the quarterbacks would be taken in like the third round, except for Justin Fields and Davis Mills would both be taken in the top 10.
But not Lawrence?
That was before Lawrence started playing well again. So probably Lawrence again in the top 10.
I mean, I think that Davis Mills is probably about the same thing as Jarrett Stidham and about the same thing as Brock Purdy, which is that they probably do what they do. They don't do a whole lot of extra.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him having a Derek Carr-like career. Like, he's as good as Derek Carr to me, in my opinion.
I mean, he has another thing in common with Jarrett Stidham. You know what that is?
They're white?
They were both the number one quarterback in their class. Right. And in a class that included a lot of great athletes.
Yeah.
So both of those were top quarterback recruits.
They're coming out of high school, you're talking about.
Coming out of high school, yep.
Yeah.
And they both obviously didn't live up to it, but I mean, now they're both probably going to be certainly better NFL players than they were college players.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I did want to play the where are they going to be next year game with a couple more names. Tom Brady, okay. Jake, where's Tom Brady going to be next year?
San Francisco.
Oakland doesn't exist. Las Vegas.
with McDaniels. I mean, that's actually interesting.
I mean, he lost a lot of money in crypto. Maybe Vegas is the right place for him.
He lost a lot of money in his divorce too, right?
Oh, I think he probably is making money in his divorce.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she definitely is worth more than he was.
100%.
Yeah.
But he's making more than her now, right?
She has lines. She has clothing lines and things. Those make obscene amounts of money.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Do you really think he goes? It's hard to. I don't know. It's hard to see him go to some random place. I don't really know.
But Las Vegas isn't random. And San Francisco isn't random.
San Francisco isn't random, and neither is Vegas. I agree.
I think those are probably the two best options for him. It's kind of crazy to think that, you know, like, what is San Francisco going to do with Trey Lance?
Yeah.
I mean, is he a quarterback that they want in the future or no?
I mean, they're clearly in their window. Why not just keep Trey Lance as the backup and, you know, have a quarterback that you trust at the helm?
Do some Green Bay Aaron Rodgers stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a guest appearance.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Susan.
That's Willem, actually.
That's Willem.
Oh, that's Willem. Hey, Willem. We got two babies on the call. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Woo. All right. Well, so we got San Francisco and or Las Vegas.
Miami is still an option.
Even after all the tampering?
Because of the tampering? I don't know.
I mean, I think that the so are we just thinking the two is done? Is that what we're thinking? I mean, it's not like he was actually pretty good when he played.
He was, but
he's also under contract through 2023, and then they'll probably pick up the fifth year option, and that'll put him under contract through 2024.
Yeah, I mean, the question is the concussions.
Yeah, he could end up getting Troy Aikman out of the NFL, to your point.
Yeah.
How about Aaron Rodgers, Jacob? What color is Aaron Rodgers wearing next year?
Maybe he's in Vegas with Devontae Adams again.
Yeah. What do you think about staying in green, but Jets green?
I mean, so are the Jets just where all Green Bay Packers retired quarterbacks go?
Yes, that is the thought process. But also, he's
throwing the most interesting landing spots in terms of
definitely. I mean, they're really. The Jets, they have a couple of pretty high picks, don't they? Because don't they have somebody else's first round pick?
They have Seattle's, right?
Oh, okay. But that's not that high. That's like
no.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are definitely a good option for any of those quarterbacks. Except for Baker Mayfield.
True. All right.
Who is the starting quarterback for the Jets next year?
I heard recently that they would go through hell or high water
hell or high water with Zach Wilson is what they said, which means there's no way.
There's no way he's even with the team next year.
Yeah, right. I think I sent that to you. I said that was a shame we don't have a
vote of confidence. Vote of
confidence points, because that was one of the stronger, it was one of the best examples of the genre that I had seen in a while.
Yeah. I mean, so if we trade Lamar to the Jets, then do we get three first round picks or four first round picks and Elijah Moore?
I don't think four is going to happen.
No.
I think we could ask for two plus Elijah Moore. I don't think that the Jets have an extra first round pick. I think they just have theirs.
They had extras last year, and I feel like they got extras like for multiple years. Oh, it's the Eagles that have.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Wrong green team, but yes, the Eagles right now have the 10th or will have the 10th pick from New Orleans.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to be trouble. Fortunately, they're not in our division.
Yeah.
Or our conference. So, yeah. And you know, but the Browns do have two high picks again to somehow blow.
Wait, what do the Browns have?
No,
they don't have all of their picks. The Texans. That's right. They don't have their picks. Oh,
that's why the Texans, I feel like, are a good option to trade Lamar to.
Yeah, that's fair. The Texans do have a lot of extra picks.
And they've gotten 102, which could easily be Stroud or something like that. Or, you know, those are, or even potentially Bryce Young. I mean,
yeah, if the Bears don't pick him one and no one trades up, which seems unlikely, but possible.
So wait, while we're on this topic, what's your market on Lamar being a Raven next year? How likely?
I'd like to think it's pretty likely. I'm going to go with I would say it's like 3-1 that he will be a Raven.
So you're saying it's a 75% chance?
Yeah.
What do you think, Doc? You take the over or the under on that?
I think I take the over on that.
I think
it's a reasonable number.
Yeah. The reason why it's as low as it is because of some of the reports that I heard about, like, how he was, like, showing up late to meetings and things like that. And it was like, oh, that's not great to hear from
you. It's never a good sign when the good reports are like, oh, well, the good news is he's actually rehabbing his injury this time with their doctors.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't sound good to me.
I mean, he'll obviously be franchised no matter what. There's no way that he's not going to be franchised.
There's no way they let him go.
Yeah. He's definitely not just walking. Yeah. That's 100% not happening. But I think the reason why I have it as low as I do is because I do think that he's just, I don't know. He's just, like, he's proven that he's, like, worth a lot to the team. Obviously, we're much, much better as a team when he's playing. There's a lot of other I honestly would love to see how he does in an offense that is not a Greg Roman offense, because Greg Roman, I do feel like, kind of sucks. And he's holding Lamar back. And I feel like Lamar feels that way. And I think they got rid of Hollywood Brown because he was, like, talking about stuff like that with Lamar and making it so that people were doubting Greg Roman's play calling. Which I think is reasonable, and they got rid of the wrong person. Rather than getting rid of Greg Roman, they got rid of Hollywood Brown, and I think they should have just kept Hollywood Brown and gotten rid of a new offensive coordinator that ran a real offense.
Alex, you're a Greg Roman apologist. You wanna chime in?
Sure. I think at the very least, Greg Roman was willing to consider an offense that featured a lot of built-in quarterback runs. And I think that he does somewhat cater to Lamar's strengths. He has put a lot more pre-snap motion into the offense this season, where with Lamar, nearly every play had pre-snap motion, to the extent that we kept getting delay of games because the calls were so complex that they couldn't get the call off and get lined up. So I think that he did listen and he did attempt to do some of the things that were asked of him. And he does have an offense that's catered to Lamar. He's just not great, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that he has tried. His offensive system seems like it is actually, like, fairly decent and good for Lamar. I actually don't have a problem with his offensive system, but I have a problem with his play calling ability. Like, the other game when we were playing against the Browns, I think it was something ridiculous. Like, we were averaging 10 yards a carry or 9 yards a carry. And we were averaging, like, 3.5 yards per attempt as a passer.
And we kept throwing it. Yeah.
We kept throwing it over and over and over again. And I'm just literally sitting in I was sitting in a bar because it was on the NFL Network, and that's the only way that I can't watch a game, apparently. And so I was sitting in a bar just yelling at the screen, like, just run the damn ball. It was pretty frustrating to watch. And then, you know, playing 2 weeks ago against the Steelers when Gus Edwards had two carries for 3 yards or something like that, even though he's been averaging 6 yards a carry over the season, makes no sense. And the fact that our best offensive players are J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Mark Andrews, and Isaiah Likely. And yet we're consistently trying to throw passes to James Prochet, DeMarcus Robinson, Devin Duvernay, and, like, I'm just like, why are we even trying to throw to offensive players who can't get open? Just run a tight end centric offense where you're not, like, involving, like, if we're going to have terrible wide receivers, why pretend like we're trying to involve them? Just don't involve them. Like, just throw the ball to Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews over and over and over again. Those are your winners.
Yeah, I mean, to the point of being a Greg Roman apologist, I wonder why DaCosta isn't taking more heat for, you know, the wide receiver group that he gifted the offense this year, which is at best substandard and at worst absolutely deplorable.
I think that's
I will say the passing offense was a lot better while Bateman was still healthy. Certainly, yeah, having an offense where losing one offensive player like changes your offense that drastically is not great. But we did lose our best wide receiver by far. What was it, like 5 weeks into the season or so, 6 weeks into the season, something like that. So certainly that doesn't help. And then we also lost our number two wide receiver, who is clearly a number three or number four wide receiver for any other team. But
anyway, yeah, this has devolved into Ravens talk.
Yeah, we should probably move it back to BQBL. Yeah.
Sorry.
Jake, did you have any questions for us? A lot of what we do is opaque during the season. Did you have any this is your time to air grievances as the champion. Any grievances to air?
I would say my grievance, my I would say my biggest grievance is that you guys talk too much about our league in the actual podcast rather than talking about BQBL in general, because okay, I think there's BQBL gold that is transferable to other leagues if we were to allow it. And I just think you guys are awesome and should be heard by a wider audience. So
you think it should just be about bad quarterbacking and then maybe a separate podcast about the scores for our league?
Yeah. Or just an email with like, these are the actual scores from our league. I think is like, listen to the podcast for the bad quarterback gold that's there. But then just like an email with our stuff, I think is good enough. But that's just because I love you guys.
Oh, well, thank you, Jacob. We appreciate your vote of confidence in us. Just like I'm sure Zach Wilson appreciates the vote of confidence that he got from Robert Saleh.
Come hell or high water, I'm going to be listening to you guys on a weekly basis during football season, okay?
Appointment listening. Fantastic. Do you listen to the podcast when Justine is around or just by yourself?
Usually I listen when I'm on a walk with a dog, so that, you know, I'm not bothering anyone, but I've listened a couple times. I mean, it doesn't make sense to her usually. Right. So, I've listened a couple times in the car. So she's heard a couple of episodes, but not this year. We haven't done a whole driving this year.
That makes sense. She's had a lot to deal with this year. Having to deal with us is probably too much.
Oh yeah.
Well, Jake, before we go, Matt, any final questions for Jacob?
No, congratulations. It was a very, very close. But yeah, I'm happy that if I had to lose, it was to you.
Aw, I'm so grateful to get to win.
Well,
yay.
Congratulations. And you'll, I'm sure, send out your address so everyone can send you cookies.
Okay, will do.
All right. Thank you, Jacob.
All right.